My name is Eric. On everything, too, I'm known as Sir Corn, Senor Corn, as some people have been calling me. That's a little late. Kind of cool.
Corn rules!
This is kind of a factual write-up, I guess. It's based on a true story that's happened many times before. It's happening now, and will continue to happen until people dare to stop experiencing pre-processed, filtered, simplified, partially hydrogenated reality in favor of real reality. So this is deconstruction of every single television advertisement ever.
Yeah.
And there's a caveat at the beginning. It's just, you know, this is a heuristic. It's not every single advertisement follows this format, because everyone's gonna buy beer, and so they don't have to go through this whole spiel of convincing you that you want beer. They know you want beer, so they just have to put the Budweiser, whatever, compete for control of your mental space. Anyway, television advertisement. Prelude. If the product is not displayed within a few seconds of the beginning of the commercial, there is tension. Representative of the target audience is bored, or dealing with a difficult situation, or grappling with another product which is fraught with inconvenience and malfunction. There's probably no music, but if there is, it is tense, waiting for resolution. The pre-display. Hopeful or dramatic music may play, while something catches the eye of the previously dismal character or characters, and soon he, she, or they divert full attention to gazing upon the new object. What on earth could it possibly be we're supposed to wonder? The display, the product is shown in all its glory, and it takes up the entire screen. We'll appear several more times, of course, but the first one is usually the kicker, as the product is shown, solving the prior crisis, providing fun or ease of use to the now smiling, shiny, happy people. The music is now upbeat and positive and as cool as the advertisers can afford. The song, or jingle. If there are words or dialogue, they will follow these rules. They will mention the sponsor's name as often as they dare. They will be very economical with words. They will use very simple language. If there is a jingle, they will make it as simple enough that the tone-deaf people can hum it and everyone else can sing it. And the song will express one idea over and over and over. Next comes the brainwashing phase of the commercial, in which the product's names and logo flash on the screen somewhere between 5 and 87 times. Next phase is the loser. Some individual who's been absent until this point may be shown trying to use a different brand of a similar product. He's excluded from the fun and merriment of the people enjoying the advertised product, and he's clearly unsatisfied with the one he's using. He is a loser because he picked the wrong brand. The record screech part. The product becomes unavailable, and the music comes to a halt, and everyone is unhappy. Tension mounts. The image of the absence of the product, for instance, an empty Pringles can being shaken upside down, is juxtaposed with people whose expressions beg, "Oh no, what will we do now?" Through a very calculated 2 to 4 seconds of this, we see that someone else has also wisely purchased the product and wishes to share and enjoy this product, and alacrity resumes. The end. A blank background, or slightly out-of-focus version of the previous background, with an image of the product and a printed slogan taken at most of the screen, while the announcer reads the slogan, or the singer repeats the crucial part of the song one last time. If they could, instead of going to all this trouble, pain, marketing teams, doing research, advertisers would simply come to your home and beat you over the head with a frying pan for 30 seconds while repeating, "Pringle's good, Frito's bad." And of course you'd have no problem with this because they'd pay you a few thousand dollars for a transitory dose of pain in less than a minute of your time.